Well, there is a sort of a bizarre war out against the transients and the poor people at large.
And what kind of combat have you seen lately in this war?
Well, I tend to stay pretty clear of it, but just the general, way people react to people who aren't looking. Like the other day, I was looking for work and I had a tie on, and everyone's like, "Oh, you look so great!" Oh, and all this shit. And I didn't want to fucking look any bit better. I still hadn't taken a shower in 4 days, so I just put a tie on. You know, it's just so much pretense over how you look and stuff like that.
Did you find work?
No, I didn't even get an interview.
You did walk about appearing more conventional.
I was checking out resumes, my professional resumes, and I still might get some interviews, but they say, we'll call you, you don't call us.
Is it hard for you to get work in this town? Have you been trying for a while, Scully?
Yeah.
How long have you been homeless?
One year and one football season. So, a year and a third.
The police car is rolling by here today, I must say. Indeed. Anything you wish to add before I move on here?
We need some kind of help. I don't give a shit where it comes from, private or public, and we need to make churches. We already sort of have an unclarified, undisclosed, kind of cosmic, weird family church. Everyone sort of knows each other around here anyways. But, it would be nice to have an actual enclosure where we could, park our cars and have band, we could have 24-hour music stand and stuff like that, keep it up.
We're about to wall off this area and make it inaccessible. That's coming
up
at the next city council meeting.
But they should, instead of that, they should, give a giant non-profit fund and, have it so that we can do our marketing and we can do our music and stuff like that. It'll all be in one place and I'll be happy and, only cops can be there as if we need them, and we probably wouldn't need them. Never actually ever even be there.
Sounds like a good plan to me, Skyler. Thank you. And then you were also suggesting bathrooms be put in? People put in? Question.
I know where all the bathrooms are because I'm a deadhead.
Are there bathrooms that are available?
Every real deadhead in town knows where every bathroom is.
Are there bathrooms available late at night?
There's some gas stations that are open.
What about parking garages or...
That one parking garage, it's 50-50. Sometimes it's open, sometimes it's closed after 8. Or whenever that restaurant closes. Sometimes they lock it up, sometimes...
So for those who need to take a whiz after midnight, what do you suggest?
Chevron.
At?
Or some other gas station that might be open up on Mission. West Side or the Chevron on Ocean.
All right, well, hey, thank you for your PSA there. So I'm on the street here talking to some folks sitting about. What's your name?
Maria.
Maria, how old are you?
14.
And you look like you could be anywhere between 15 and 19, actually, by your appearance. You're 14. So this curfew law, have you heard about it?
Actually, I heard a little bit about it, just like people over talking.
There's a curfew law being debated tonight at what's called the Children's Commission. The Children's Commission is a group that's going to recommend to the sheriff, actually to the Board of Supervisors, where they should pass a law that makes it illegal to be out after 11 o'clock at night if you're under 14, under 18 is what it is. So I'm looking for people who want to go to this commission and tell them that they either do or don't like the law, preferably that they don't, and tell them why. Do you have a home yourself?
No.
Would you be interested in speaking up on this issue?
Not really.
Perhaps what we can do is I can record this and play this recording at the hearing.
No, I don't.
You say she does. Where is her home?
Wherever you are. My home's right here right now.
How long have you been, shall we say, in the open-air home rather than in the closed?
6.5 months.
And why are you in this current situation?
Because my mother kicked me out.
And is she a local Santa Cruzian?
No, she's a Portland person.
So you've been on the road?
Yeah.
And how is it on the road for a woman of 14?
It's okay, I guess. Not that bad. It's not that hard.
And what cities have you spent most of your time
Portland.
So you just recently got down here?
Yeah, just about a week ago.
How does Santa Cruz compare with Portland?
It's warmer. A lot warmer. Better.
So are you all from Portland?
No, I'm from California.
You're from?
California.
You're from California.
Okay.
Born and raised. Yeah, born and raised. Born and bred.
And you as well are in California.
Yeah.
And what are your views on the curfew law? You look like you're over 18 or over 17 anyway, both of you.
Yeah.
But do you have any of course someone could say, no, we're not sure of your ID. Let's check this person's ID if there's a curfew law. So what do you think of the idea of the curfew law?
I think I don't know very much, but as far as I don't think it's completely right. I don't think it should be implemented.
Maybe on a weeknight when they have to go to school, but you know what? On weekends, 12, 1 o'clock, yeah.
So you
what time is the curfew going to start, though? 10 or something?
11 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
So you might favor a curfew if it were a later curfew.
Maybe. I don't like putting like restraints on anybody, though, because it's not fair.
Curfew means you can't be out after a certain hour. It's illegal for you to be out.
When is the curfew?
The curfew, as it's proposed and as it will probably pass on February 13th at the Board of Supervisors, is
that Friday the 13th?
It's actually Tuesday the 13th. But it will probably be Friday the 13th if you're under 18. It'll be after 11 o'clock at night.
I think it should be 1 a.m. in the morning. Because I know kids should be out past 1 a.m. in the morning.
I personally hope every teenager in this goddamn city swarms the streets, man, and sits down on the sidewalk at 5 minutes past curfew for every day after the law is passed.
Yes, you're welcome. I should point out that the curfew would not apply in Santa Cruz City, because Santa Cruz City has refused to pass a curfew, but it will apply in all other areas of the county, including Capitola, Watsonville, Scotts Valley, and Live Oak, Soquel. So here we have the people who will be most affected by you. You're going to be most affected by it.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do when a police officer stops you and says, how old are you?
I'm going to tell them my age, I guess. I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. I don't know.
The curfew is theoretically will come into force within a month if it's passed on the 13th. So you may actually be out of town by that time.
Yeah.
Have you been stopped in Portland for being, quote, or appearing to be underage?
Nope.
Do you spend less time on the streets for fear that you'll be stopped?
No.
Is there any problem for young people in Portland, Oregon?
Sort of. I mean, they don't really stop you. And if they do, they just ask where you're going. And then you just say that you're going home, and they pretty much don't bother you.
Have you been out frequently after 11 o'clock at night?
Yeah.
And have you been, how many times were you stopped by police in Portland?
Only once, actually.
Do you feel that in any way it's a protection for people to be stopped or to be told it's illegal after 11 o'clock to be out?
It depends what part you're in. Like, if you're in a residential area, then yeah. But if you're not in a residential area, then no.
And why do you make that distinction?
Because, like, robberies and all that kind of stuff, I mean, you have to be more afraid for the people that live in that area. You don't want, like, teenagers going out, like, at, you know, 2 in the morning, because they're going to do something. I mean...
So you feel that a curfew is a good idea in, as far as, let's say, property owners go?
Yeah, for property owners, but not for anything else.
Would you say most of the people that you know who are out late at night are likely to be thieves?
No.
So should they be barred from going out late at night because maybe some of them are thieves?
Nope, I don't think so.
That's what I think too, actually.
And you are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is Bathrobe Spear's Broadsides. I am Bathrobe Spear Robert Norris, and this is a show about civil rights in Santa Cruz. And the particular issue we're talking about, of course, is the proposed countywide curfew. It's going to be coming up at Board of Supervisors on Tuesday, 9 o'clock in the morning, February 13th. for a first reading, making it illegal to tarry after 11 o'clock at night if you're under the age of 18. While that tape was playing, that's a tape from the streets about a week or two ago, talking to people on the streets, asking them what they think about the curfew, there was a call from a Latino man, probably a Latino young man, who talked about how the curfew could be abused and was likely to be abused in areas like the Beach Flats, where there was large Latino populations that give the police another excuse to hassle people. Jose didn't want to talk on the air, and I'm encouraging him, if you're listening, Jose, to give a call in Spanish to my 423-4833 number. That's 423-HUFF, which is the number for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and also my phone I have in my little room. And you can leave a message on the answering machine, and we can play that on the air later. Because one thing we don't have in this show, or in many others, and I guess we're getting a couple of Spanish language programs, we don't have much Spanish language outreach. And indeed, you know, I hear what, 21%, I was being told yesterday by Dragon Star Dan Hopkins, camper of the River Street Refugees, is 21% is, what, Hispanic? Are the kids? Dan's in the studio with us now. Dan, belly up to the mic here.
Yes, I was at the SCAN meeting last night where they were talking about having a new voting procedure for counting votes. And one of the items that they brought up was that it's a general consensus that there was only about 7% Latino people in Santa Cruz, and it turns out that there's actually 21% of the students in the school system are Latinos. So there's a lot more Latinos in the county than
Latinos?
People know.
Yeah. That's interesting, and I wish that mi español está mejor, but it's not, as you can hear. I'm a horrible Spanish speaker, and so I need a translator on the air. So Jose, get your butt to Taco Bell at 9:45 on Fridays and Mondays in the morning. That's downtown at Laurel and Pacific, and you can translate this entire scene into Spanish, and we'll have a bilingual program, or at least parts of it will be bilingual. That's an area that hasn't been explored at all, though in San Jose, where the curfew has been operational for about a year and a half, they found that, 60 or 70% of the stops were Latino, disproportionate even to the percentages of people in that area, and that most of the stops, the majority, were for people over the age of the curfew. Got an incoming call here. Well, we had an incoming call. Come on, caller, we'll try again.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Roberto.
Yes, sir.
What are they doing with this curfew? They're being able to card anyone that looks around 18, maybe 18. Isn't it pretty obvious that people loitering at street corners night in, night out are maybe dealing drugs, and the cop has the right presumption to go and say, hey, you know, I see you're dealing, you're loitering here night in, night out, what the hell are you doing? And that's a good enough reason that we don't need a curfew to have a policeman go up and card somebody, and that this is just, why are they doing this? They need to fill their jails, they're going to build more jails, they're going to spend more on jails than they are on higher education.
Mm-hmm.
Now for the first time, 4-point-something billion this year, a single year, I guess, is what they're slated to spend in California on jailing people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got three comments on that. The first is, loitering laws, of course, are unconstitutional, so cops can't use them, but certainly police can surveil an area where they believe drug dealing is happening if they want to spend their time on such ridiculous activities, which I guess actually is quite a fundraising activity for the police to go after drugs. We're talking, of course, about non or less toxic drugs, the major toxic drugs, nicotine and alcohol. I'm sure are not interested in stopping
the sale.
Yeah,
but you don't consider, you know, that since heroin and coke are not legal, and at what capacity, I mean, how much of the heroin and coke would be here if it were simply legal?
Well, if the energy and resources that went into heroin and coke via the police were actually going that way through clinics, in spite of, you know, some concerns that there was problems in London when they used that approach, problems in England in the 60s when they had a kind of a clinic approach, I still think a clinic approach is the best approach to these kind of illegal drugs. But let me finish what I was saying about the other aspects of your point that, you know, hey, you know, there's already basis. If police believe illegal activity is happening in a certain area, they don't need a curfew law to go after it. I think that's true. I think it's also even more true because, unfortunately, the state, at the beginning of this year, and now has a new law that makes it illegal to loiter with intent to sell drugs. In other words, the loitering laws that were thrown out a decade and a half ago are now back under the guise and with the mantle of the drug war. So they do actually have a new loitering law that statewide makes it a misdemeanor to loiter with intent to sell drugs. It's also illegal, of course, to sell certain illegal drugs. And if you're, and police want to surveil an area and find that's happening, they can. I agree with you completely.
Okay, but if we legalized heroin and coke, the supply would simply go through the roof. There's so much of it grown in, mainly 65% of the heroin is grown in Myanmar, and I guess the poppy's grown also for medical reasons. You know, we need morphine and these painkillers for people who are in real pain after and before surgery and from cancer, and we need to grow the poppy,
mm-hmm.
right? So I guess some of it's legal. I'm not sure. I don't think all of it
heroin, heroin is completely illegal. But, I mean, I guess morphine is legal.
Right. And
heroin actually should be legal for pain for, you know, terminal cancer patients and all that kind of thing.
And it is, in a certain amount, the poppy growth in Myanmar, which grows two-thirds of it, is some of it goes towards legal, legitimate medical purposes. But where we differ here on the drug traffic is I would definitely decriminalize its use, except I would still go after the dealers and the largest dealers first.
Mm-hmm. I know you would.
It's only fair, right? I mean, that the largest offenders are attacked.
We went through this last program, and I think, you know, the audience who was listening then, which may well be the same three people that are listening now, I hope there are more of you out there. Please, let me know how many people are listening to the show. I want to know whether I should retire immediately.
No, this is an important issue because 500,000 people are in jail today. I would estimate that 9/10 of them for being the addicts who are being subject to being
taking
drugs.
I can't intelligently discuss that in terms of figures. I'd be happy to make that the topic of another show. Right now, I'm trying to run through a couple of series of.
Well, on the curfew, it touches, and that most people are loitering on street corners every night are assumed to be maybe doing something illegal, and that's enough presupposition or supposition from the for the police to go up and ID them. I don't think we need a curfew to do that.
Well, there's no reason to ID anybody anyway unless you actually have a specific crime in mind. I think if you investigate a particular crime, okay, but this, you know.
Well, the report that Tracy did, Sheriff Tracy, and... He looks fine, but I'm going to say this again. I think the big dealers are already known to the DA and the police, and they're part of the problem. I mean, the problem is internal, that there's so goddamn much money in this that's the reason to at least legitimize or not prosecute victims, you know,
right.
Addicts, and
gotcha.
to put the law enforcement effort into prosecuting the large dealers, and the reason that's not done is...
So I encourage everyone to call our Danner and tell him to stop his prosecutions immediately.
Stop protecting large dealers and go ahead and turn on them. And, I mean, that's dangerous for him, because... For obvious reasons.
Right.
And I don't think this is just a Santa Cruz problem. As I said, you know, I think this is nationwide, where the reason that hundreds of billions of dollars are funneled back in the heroin and coke market.
But I can't intelligently discuss this, and all we can do is reassert the same thing over and over again, which I'm not interested in doing at this time. So let's have a show about this.
Well, I hope we got. I hope I got that.
You got that point out, I think.
That point out, thank
numerous
you.
Times.
Yeah. Bye.
Take care.
Drugs are one of the big pretexts police have to harass people, and now they're going to have a curfew as a pretext, and who knows, they may have a closed parking lot, and of course they need to sleep after 11 o'clock at night, go to jail law is another pretext, and hey, lots of reasons for police to come after you. We have some more interviews from downtown. My selection process is not the best always, so I'd like you to bear with me. There may be some gems in the rough here amidst all the debris. I hope so.
Yeah, it's about 5 to 5 here on the mall at the corner of Church. Church and Pacific. Watching Blockbuster Video near the change machine. I'm talking to Ben. And Ben, you were munching a bit of pizza, but you had some other disquieting news.
Yeah.
And what was that news?
Well, I just applied for a job down at the boardwalk for any position, including washing toilets or kitchen work or ride operator, anything, and they didn't hire me on the fact that I have tattoos. And it's even printed in their work. They showed me where it says that tattoos aren't allowed.
Well, you don't seem to have any visible tattoos. Your face has no tattoos. Aha! A tattoo on your hand. Your left hand. This indicates, of course, a satanic bent, correct?
It's not a satanic tattoo.
Oh, dear. Okay, well, obviously you must be unfit because
of the color of my skin.
Because of the color of your tattooed skin, exactly. I should point out that you're a white guy, kind of a red-faced white guy. Maybe a little bit too much sun, perhaps?
Yeah.
So, is this a new policy as far as you know? Have you heard of this happening before?
I haven't heard of it, but it's printed in the list of rules and stuff. No tattoos. No visible tattoos.
So what you need to do is have some makeup you put on your hand, I guess, huh?
I guess I could try that, but...
Pretty weird shit, if you ask me. Any other incidents you wish to report to us, or do you want to talk more about this issue?
No, that's it. I just wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah, I actually have no information for you, but it's an interesting question. Presumably, I don't know the answer. Is it discriminatory? Obviously it is. You'd think that such things would not be relevant, or that if it were done systematically. Do you have a copy of the rules?
No, not with me.
Well, give me a call at 423. Have to be heard further discrimination along this line. The answer to your question is, I don't know what the hell it's... Okay.
All right. Every school needs a steeple. If you're liberal, say a prayer. A whole new to world. A world of many new countries. Then there's term limits too, except for... You know who? We're neutralizing everything not known.
And you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Chaotic interviews and snatches from the Capitol steps. Capitol steps. Satirical group based in Washington, D.C., which is sort of some vanilla satire, but sometimes they come close to the mark. And we also have interviews up the yin-yang, with which we will continue.
I'm talking to the same woman. We'll call you Sig. Sig, what happened?
This lady was, like, telling me that I was the reason for what was going on in Santa Cruz, like, is how it's getting worse, I guess. I don't know.
Is this a well-dressed, middle-class woman, or...?
No, this was just, like, this lady that was just walking by, and she, you know...
She stopped to tell you what you're...
Yeah, that I was the problem.
Now, were you sitting down on the sidewalk? You're standing about?
Yeah.
And why do you think she singled you out?
I don't know. I was, you know, I'm Spanish, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess she chose me, you know, out of everyone here.
You should feel favored to be chosen out of so many. Have you been around for a while here, or are you a newcomer?
Well, to America, I've been here since I was
in Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz for like 3 months.
And what's your sense, is there much discrimination against people of Spanish ancestry? Have you experienced any problems with
that? Yeah, just a little, you know, every now and then.
Right. How about here on this corner? How about among this group of people here who are virtually dreadheads and...
No. No.
Much discrimination there.
No. Just a lot of people that don't know here in their head. You know, right now.
Anything you want to say to, in Spanish or English, to the Free Radio Santa Cruz audience?
Hey, peace and love, that's it. Just peace and love.
And that was yet another of the many interviews that we've done in the last couple of weeks concerning civil rights issues in Santa Cruz. You want to call in with your own direct interview, as one of you seems to be doing. The number is 427-3772.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Let's open this up, this discussion about drugs, because that's the presumption as to why people, you know, why the cops...
No, I don't want to talk about drugs. I want to talk about specific civil rights issues.
Well, civil rights abuses the criminalization of one half of the jail population.
I know, but that's not... See, I've got 40 minutes left, and that's a show that will go on for 2 hours. It's not something
you've
I
got
really
some other interviews to play?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll get back to you at the end, but this is important,
issue,
too. We need a show on drugs, the difference between soft and hard drugs, LSD, marijuana, which are not addicting, and hard drugs.
Sure, we can talk about that, but I'd rather do it on another show.
Yeah,
when
okay.
I've got more time.
Yeah, okay, bye.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's an important issue, but again, it's a huge issue, and it's one that's, oh God, it goes all over the place. Anyway, more interviews, guys, and an open phone line, 427-3772. Come on, help me out here. Let me know you're listening. Let me know you think the show is putting you to sleep, or you like it, or you got some new suggestions. We can use new suggestions.
Give us a name that you wish to be known by.
Cosmo.
Mr. Cosmo. And Mr. Cosmo has pulled out a thick yellow sheath of tickets here at Cat Garden Pacific. It's about 1:20 on the 19th of January, 1996. And you say you recently got a trespass ticket at 7-Eleven.
At 7-Eleven, by standing outside. And I believe my brother and sister were here last night. It was early. It was about 1 o'clock.
And what 7-Eleven was this?
On Laurel.
On Laurel. Yeah.
And I was giving a trespassing ticket. We're standing there with a sleeping bag.
Well, a sleeping bag is actually a dangerous weapon in Santa Cruz. It indicates an intention to break the law. As you know, it's illegal to sleep in Santa Cruz after 11 o'clock at night outside.
Oh. Now, so where do you sleep after 11 o'clock outside?
Well, I'd say 10 miles west is the idea.
Yeah, but if you're in the local area...
Well, it's good practice to swim. That's the theory of the
indeed,
authority.
Indeed.
Now, you two observed this ticket...
Yeah, I saw him taken away. Yeah.
And what happened? What did you see happen?
Oh, well, it came upon him and questioned him. And
who came? Police officers?
Two police officers, yes.
And so he was just simply standing there with a sleeping bag?
Basically,
was
yeah.
Was he harassing people in a drunken stupor?
No, he was in good shape at that time.
And was he blocking traffic?
No, he was off to the side of the building.
Was he pissing on the floor?
Not at all.
Was he raping local men and women?
No.
So he was given a misdemeanor trespass ticket, which is punishable by up to 6 months in jail for...
Standing on the side of 7-Eleven on Laurel.
Now, what was your name? Your name is?
Tammy Joe.
Tammy, you saw this happen last night?
No, I didn't.
I'm sorry. Our other witnesses... First name?
I'm Kurt.
Kurt?
Yes.
And Kurt, what did you make of this? Why did he get this ticket? Did you get a ticket? You were there too?
Oh, no, I just came up right at that time.
I see.
And saw the proceedings happening.
Well,
so.
Cosmo, enlighten us. Why do you think you got a ticket?
Well, it's real tough, you know, sometimes, you know, to carry a sleeping bag in Santa Cruz. And at that point, I believe that two police officers at 1 o'clock in the morning had nothing better to do.
Now, wasn't this done on complaint from the 7-Eleven?
Well, it could have possibly have been, but they could have come out and said, hey, you have to leave.
So there was no warning given?
No, no warning at all.
Well, did the officers tell you had to leave?
No, they immediately arrested me.
Then that ticket is bogus because you cannot be successfully prosecuted for trespass unless you've been given a warning.
I know that.
Well, another example of Justice Santa Cruz style here down at Cathcart Pacific.
I don't like the curfew law because some kids don't have a place to go at 11 o'clock, and so where the hell are they supposed to go?
How many people have you met in Santa Cruz under the age of 18 who, if they were in the county, would have no place to go and therefore would be under the, well, who would be subject to the curfew laws?
In Santa Cruz?
Yes.
A lot.
Give me a number.
Like 10 or 11. A lot. Yeah.
These are people you know personally in the last week.
Not personally, but I mean I've talked to them, you know, little conversations.
Right, you know, at least you had personal contact with them.
Yeah, I mean I've talked to them and stuff.
So I'm taking interviews about the curfew law. Does anybody want to give an opinion, particularly if you're young or you're likely to be mistaken for a young person, or if you have friends who are young? Want to say anything about the curfew law? Okay.
This is for Free Radio Santa Cruz. Why does it suck, sir, and as you eat your lollipop over there?
It shouldn't have to be, like, told when you can and cannot be out. It's free goddamn
country. Excuse me? Free? You really think you're free? Oh, but if you have been told a lie.
Supposed to be. It's not them.
They lied to you, bro.
Well, it should be free. That's the way I look at it. The sooner the better.
Are you
going
to resist when you do
curfew?
Resistance.
So, you will resist the curfew yourself?
Yep.
I know I'm going to.
And you're
going
to resist for your
ass? Yeah.
So those two individuals, of course, in Santa Cruz City, there'll be no need to resist the curfew because it will only apply in the county, which may mean there'll be an influx of young people into the city. Anything anybody else wants to say on this issue?
Policemen should go after the real criminals.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz?
Yeah, hi, Robert. I wondered what you know about first alarm security. They wear uniforms like cops. They hired them at the county complex over here by Emmeline.
Uh-huh.
And one Saturday I was cutting through, it's a good shortcut,
mm-hmm.
and pulled over to eat my lunch, and it was on Saturday that most of the buildings aren't open, and the guy pulls up behind me, takes the license number, demands my driver's license, asks me if my tools are stolen, accuses me of having an expired license. I guess he couldn't read. He figured that one out, that he was wrong on that. But so in other words, he wanted to write me up for something.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem to think they're police, and I'm not. Their uniforms look like it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see any guns. Have you heard anything about First Alarm?
Actually, you know, this First Alarm is kind of a notorious local wannabe cop group. No, they're not police.
Are they allowed to check your ID?
No, they're not allowed to check your ID. If you consent to it...
I mean, if I had said no, could he have said, well, then, he had me blocked in, could he have called the police and had them check it?
Anybody can make a citizen's arrest, including a First Alarm security guard. You can make a citizen's arrest.
For sitting in your car, then?
Well, you can make a citizen's arrest for anything, but you're subject under false arrest. If you detain another citizen without adequate cause, then you're civilly liable. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, anything else. Trouble is, First Alarm security, it's possible they may be backed up by the police department. I think... you have the right, immediately should ask, are you making a citizen's arrest of anybody who detains you? Are you making an arrest? They say, no, I'm just interrogating you. Say, well, you know, you're not a police officer.
Uh-huh.
And what crime are you investigating? And frankly, I want to be about my legitimate business.
You claim that it's not posted here, you know, it wasn't posted anything about parking on Saturday or anything. And he claimed it was semi-private. That was his way of putting
it.
Well,
if he claims to be the owner's agent, and he's going to inform you that you're not allowed on the property, you can do a number of things. You can say, well, you know, I think I am because I have the owner's permission, or I feel I am for various other reasons because it seems to be open to the public and it's not adequately posted. Or you
it's not
could,
posted at all.
Yeah, you know, or you could say, well, okay, that's fine, I'm leaving, I'll talk to you later.
Well, that's what I wanted to do, then he held me for 15 minutes.
No, he can't detain you legally.
Okay, so I could have said, forget it.
Yeah, you could have said, if you want to detain me, you arrest me.
Okay.
And then he would be required to make an arrest, and then he'd say, okay, if you're going to make an arrest...
And that's just like any citizen?
Sure.
Okay.
He doesn't have any more power.
Even though he looks like a cop, he's
not. Right, exactly.
Okay,
now that is my understanding. I am not a lawyer,
okay,
and I should, you know, I should say that you should double check this with some attorney to be sure that I'm accurate. But that is my understanding.
Okay, and maybe talk to the county, someone in the county.
You should call First Alarm Security, and you could say, I would like to know. I mean, first of all, you probably should file.
I got his name.
Oh, what's his name?
It's in the car. I don't have it with me.
Oh, okay. Well, you might want to. I would encourage you to. When did this happen, anyway?
I was thinking of calling, and then I thought, well, he's probably doing what they're telling him to do. I was going to call his boss.
Oh, so were the guys. guys who killed the Jews, so what? You know, I mean, if what they're doing is wrong, they should be called on it, even if they're just following orders, you know.
So, Carl, maybe I could still do that.
Well, I think it's appropriate also to write a letter to the paper and say, I feel, you know, first alarm security guards are misinforming the public about their powers, and I find it, we're having enough police state coming down from the real cops. We don't need wannabe cops.
Yeah, the wannabes are the ones that make me the most nervous.
Well, you know.
The ones that, they seem to be hiring them everywhere now.
Oh, yeah, it's, you know, that, curfew laws, anti-homeless laws, it's the latest thing. It's kind of, you know, the fashion is fascism.
I mean, they could probably hire first alarm to patrol the mall or something.
They actually were, they used to do stuff like that. Now they've kind of, they had bad experiences with that, and, you know, we have a certain resistance culture kind of built up here.
Yeah.
And hopefully it'll be built up stronger.
Well, the whole country was founded on a rebellion, so, I mean, it's kind of in the, it's the American way.
I would hope so. You'd hope so, but a lot of people are, you know, a lot of us are legitimately scared, and that...
Yeah. Well, this guy was, he was ready for action. You know, he wanted trouble.
See, Kyle.
So, yeah, exactly. Okay, so you have heard that they have a bad reputation.
I have indeed. As a matter of fact, a year ago we supported PSI, which is the alternate security system, in opposing, we being HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. First Alarm wanted to get the contract with the Metro to patrol the Metro. We opposed that. So.
Well, that's good. So the group at the Metro is not First Alarm.
I think it's PSI.
Yeah, because they're a lot more laid back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Listen, thank you.
I'll give his boss a call first. And
give a report to HUF and tell me what you do.
Okay.
423 HUF.
All right. Thanks.
Well, phone lines. Let's keep those lines jingling. We're doing. Hey, well, thank you very much. Free Radio Santa Cruz, 427-3772 is the call number. 96.3 is the number you're listening to.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
I have issues with First Alarm, man.
That sounds like the large voice Phil Free.
Hi.
Hi, Phil.
Hi. Hey, you know, the thing with First Alarm and PSI, I've noticed a lot because I tend to watch these things. Mm-hmm. First Alarm has a policy and a habit of hiring wannabe cops. People that are trying to become cops, people that have tried to become cops and can't become cops, mm-hmm. people that have that mentality, they want to be out there doing the cop thing, but for one reason or another, they can't mm-hmm. get it together. Or PSI, they seem to hire some really surly guys that don't give a fuck. A lot of the guys at PSI that work at the Metro, I mean, there's a couple really hardcore militant guys, but some of the other ones are reasonably cool and it will even, like, come hang out with the street people when they're off duty.
Well, for our listeners' benefit, and for those who don't know who you are, you're a musician who spends a lot of time on the mall. Right?
Yes, I do. However, I do know one PSI guard that was fired for being homeless.
I remember that fellow at UCSC who was tracked all the way downtown by the Royal Mounted Patrol there.
Totally, yeah. I guess he had gotten, he got busted way up in the woods. And I don't know, somehow that got back to his work. And
there's actually a trial, the 30-day Robbie Berlin's marijuana trial was going on, which you talked about, I guess, at length on your show.
Is it going on right now?
No, it went on. But when it went on, the same day, a guy was found guilty of violating the UCSC camping ban. There's not just a Santa Cruz camping ban. There's also a university camping ban.
Well, yeah, because they're their own little world up there.
Right. But go ahead. I'm sorry, Phil.
Yeah, I woke up and I heard you talking about First Alarm, and you know I have issues with that.
You're alarmed about First Alarm.
Yeah, well, I'm alarmed about, you know, fascism of any kind, but civilian fascism really scares me.
What about the host? Have you heard anything more about the case of John Berlin's macing of D-Bob? I mean, his pepper gassing?
No, that hasn't gone too far. I've talked to a couple people about it. I have had a couple run-ins with the hosts.
John Berlin's, I should say, not John Berlin, my apologies.
Yesterday, Matt was coming down because there was a complaint about me playing somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And
Matt is the head supervisor.
Yes. So Matt was on his way down, but the cops had already gone there, or had already been there and done their thing. And Matt told me he was coming down as a courtesy to Phil.
Mm-hmm.
As a courtesy to Phil, he was going to come down and tell me to stop doing my job. So Matt's a really nice guy.
We're talking, of course, about you're simply playing music on the mall, which some merchants don't like.
Yes. And you always ask me if there's any updates, and I never really have any, so today I have one.
Cool.
And this will be all over Free Radio Santa Cruz, because a couple reporters happened to be there with tape recorders and got all kinds of interviews and footage yesterday when the cops were called on me for playing across the street from the coffee roasting company.
Uh-huh. The jewel is down, huh?
A lot of stuff will come out on that, but I think one of the interesting...
Did Manx file a complaint again?
No, not Manx this time. It was the people in the vault, which I've had dealings with the people in the vault. Mm-hmm. And
What songs were you playing?
That's the thing. We have the cop admitting it on tape, and we have even the complainant himself admitting on tape that it was not the volume level. It was... words like Nazis and fascists, those were the two particular words. He also said Nazi this and sex that and fascist this. Never said anything about sex, so we pretty much threw that out as bullshit, but mm-hmm. I did say things about Nazis and I did say things about fascists. Apparently that's what was offensive with what I was doing yesterday.
What time was this?
This was... shortly after noon, broad daylight, not a lot of people to disturb on the mall. People were pretty into it.
Did you get a ticket?
No, I didn't push it. I could have gotten a ticket, but the officer wasn't in the mood to give a ticket. And,
what officer
Connor, was it? Mm-hmm. Oh, Bob got his name. But the interesting part that came out of this is we found out yesterday that apparently at a downtown business association meeting or something, I was the subject of much conversation, and through the police people that come to the meeting, they were through the police and the downtown business association, it was somehow decided. I'm going to have to find out how this was decided and how this got implemented and who brought this out. But apparently, I'm belligerent and shouldn't be dealt with except by the police. At least that's what they told people. And apparently, the Downtown Business Association...
You belligerent?
Yes, apparently the Downtown Business Association has singled me out and told the business owners that this particular musician should not be approached because he's belligerent and the police should just automatically be called. So I've kind of been wondering and I've kind of been speculating for quite a while why the police get called when, you know, some people I used to be able to work with, you know, on a human being level and, you know, talk to them.
So you're now an undesirable belligerent.
Now, I apparently I'm an undesirable belligerent. And I asked the cops about that. Well, you know, well, why can't these people just come and talk to me like a human being? And he said, well, you know, people get punched in the face for approaching people like that. And it's really an interesting, it's going to be some interesting radio.
Sometimes people get maced in the face, apparently.
Well, totally. Well, the cops...
pepper gas.
The cops work with all the rest of this crap that society feeds us to keep us in fear of each other. And as long as they keep us in fear of each other and afraid to deal with each other as human beings, well, the cops have job security forever. We will always need them. We will always think we need them as long as we're afraid of our brothers and sisters.
That's true.
That's my update.
Well,
I just had coffee. I'm listening to your show.
Cool.
Have a good day.
Thanks. Thank you.
And that, of course, is the belligerent Phil Free, a notorious musician, famed in song and story, and also a man who I purchased a tape from at an inflated price, I might add. Skidmarks Bob, part of the Just Kiddin' Cartel Band, as it's called, has a new tape out. In case you're interested, you can get their tape. I'm not sure who you should call, but hey, I guess a call to 427-3772 might get you some information, and it also might put you on the air. Because that's where you are now if you're listening, and hey, another call.
Free Radio Santa Cruz.
What do you mean inflated? How much did you pay for that tape?
$5.
$5? You could have gone to...
Exactly.
You could have gone to, what is that record store?
Inflated, as I said.
Yeah, there's that record store. You give them $3.
Your frontier pal, Skidmark Bob, is at it again.
That's terrible. Well, actually, I sell them on the street for $5, too.
No, well...
But
you didn't make the profit. He did.
Well, we had to lower the prices at the record store because all the local bands were cheaper than us.
I see.
Okay. Well, that's cool. All right. So Bob owes me $2. Cool.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Aren't these domestic phone calls fun, folks?
Anyway, in the studio with me is Dragon's Heart Dan Hopkins, a River Street refugee, but not a representative of that group in terms of his opinions. I believe you speak for yourself. You filed an appeal of the Citizens Committee for the Homelessness Community House Project, which you discussed on the air at the last show, and you've been kind of running around to different commissions trying to make sure that they don't do any sneaky development until they get the okay from the city council, which I think you kicked down the road possibly till the end of February, possibly till the early March. Maybe you can give us a brief and brief, I mean brief, update, Dan.
Okay. Yeah, very brief.